Radio. And now, Free Fire Radio.
Radio. About to commence.
Good morning, Reading. This is Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 AM, Friday, March 26th. It's about 6 minutes after 7, and if things are going right, we're streaming on KCNR1460.com. The phone number in the studio is 605-4567 if you want to call in. Carl and Linda Bott are in Palm Desert, and Mike Quinn and I, Mark Beecham, are sitting in, so don't touch that dial. We've got a great show lined up for you this morning. We'll have a little local history, a little local economics, a little local politics, and an idea for a fun family outing this weekend or any weekend, for that matter. And in the first hour, we've got Jay Thompson of the Shasta Historical Society, who will tell us about some local high school graduates who went out and changed the world in big ways and small. And then we'll have Tammy Korn of the Public Affairs Office at Shasta Dam, who will explain why the dam still attracts visitors from all around the world, even while many of us may take it for granted. And in the second hour, Frank Strazzarino and Jeff Avery of the Chamber of Commerce are going to join us to speculate a little bit on when the local economy is likely to turn the corner. And our final guest is John Harris, who has lodged a criminal complaint against the city of Reading for its purchase of the so-called Strati property, using money borrowed from Reading Electric Utility. But before we get to Jay Thompson, Mike, can you give us a little idea of what the weather's going to be like today?
Well, when you wake up this morning, you're going to find that there may be even a little touch of frost on your windshield after that big storm we had yesterday, rather spectacular, ran through the North State. We're expecting highs today, 64 degrees, partly cloudy. It's looking very, very clear out there this morning. Going to be an absolutely beautiful weekend. We've got a home show going on down at the Anderson District Fairgrounds, so we encourage everybody to head down there. But Sunday is going to be 74 degrees, so it's going to be a beautiful weekend.
Great. And, of course, the weather, as usual, is brought to you by Anselmo Vineyards, and it's a great romantic getaway, as Carl and Linda always say, and I can attest to that. You can read my review of the place on Reading.com. I wrote it up for date last week, I think it was. Anyway, Jay Thompson, thanks for joining us today, and for those who don't know Jay, he's part of a family that ran a clothing business in downtown Reading for, I think, almost 80 years. And it was started by his grandfather and his great uncle during some very tough economic times for Reading back in the 20s. Reading went into a recession, a depression, even before the Great Depression started because of the end of the copper boom here. But the Thompsons managed to make a living, a good living for themselves, three generations of them, and employees over, like I said, 80 years. And you'd be hard pressed to find the quality merchandise that they served, that they sold at their store, or the great customer service. You'd be hard pressed to find that kind of merchandise or service today. So anyway, good for you, Jay. Good for your family. So thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Mark. Good morning, and thanks for those kind words.
Okay, you're welcome. You know, when I was growing up here, and you too, some people thought Reading was kind of an isolated backwater place, but in fact, you know, it was in California. It was on the main highway, 99 in those days, then subsequently I-5, and it was only a couple of hours away from one of the most interesting cities in the world, San Francisco, and one of the some of the greatest universities, Berkeley and Stanford. So the world was closer than a lot of people thought, and it beckoned people, and some people left Reading to go off and do some interesting things. And you're here to talk about a list that the Historical Society is compiling, and after this break we'll get to that list and some of the notable people on it. So we'll be right back.
With the arrival of spring, it's time to start planning your home improvement projects. Need a new screen door or new windows, a new surround sound system, or high-def TV? Visit the booths of Nicolette Glass and Clyde's Home Entertainment at the original Spring Home and Garden Expo presented by Popovich Productions. Are you planning for a new carpet and flooring, a new heating and air conditioning unit, or a new spa? Talk with Shasta Lake Floors, Alliance Heating and Air, and Phoenix Spas. Come see the newest in ideas in color designs and green technology March 26th, 27th, and 28th at the Fairgrounds in Anderson.
Simple Green is the original non-toxic and biodegradable all-purpose cleaner and the number one choice of homeowners and do-it-yourselfers for over 30 years. Simple Green is safer for you, your family, your pets, and your household services. Simple Green really works, and the concentrated formula can be custom diluted for use all over your home, saving you time and money. No more buying multiple expensive bottles of cleaners for different cleaning jobs. Simple Green is all you need. Visit SimpleGreen.com today for money-saving coupons, cleaning tips, contests, and more.
Welcome to Five Star Bank, where we take a professional, progressive, and personal approach to every relationship. Whether you partner with us through our small business banking program, open a Capital Green savings account, or secure a home loan through our mortgage division, you'll find that Five Star Bank genuinely cares about you. Really, it's all about relationships, and we would like to get to know you better. Come on into our office at 358 Hartnell Avenue, or visit us online at fivestarbank.com. Professional, progressive, and personal. Five Star Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Preparing for a landscape project with new plants and shrubs? Need a tractor to help you get the job done? Meet with the professionals at Axner Excavating, Shasta Growers, and Team Power. The Spring Home and Garden Expo showcases the best in new products, ideas, and design concepts by local businesses. All happening Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, March 26th, 27th, and 28th. The original Home and Garden Expo features many more local businesses, local ideas, and offers great savings with exclusive show discounts. Your premier local Home and Garden Expo, March 26th, 27th, and 28th at the Shasta District Fairgrounds.
Welcome back, Reading. This is Mark Beecham and Mike Quinn trying to sit in for Carl and DeBott, who are, I hope, listening through the miracle of the internets down in Palm Desert or Palm Springs. And if you are, Carl, give us a shout. Anyway, Jay Thompson from the Historical Society is with us this segment to talk about a list that the Society is putting together. Actually, it's adding on to a list that appeared in a recent profile of the Shasta Union High School District, a history. And there's some notable graduates on that list who have gone out in big ways and small ways changed the world. So, Jay, maybe you could give us a couple of ideas who some of these notable graduates are.
All right. You bet, Mark. I'm reading from a new publication that Mike Monahan had written for the it's the history of the Shasta Union High School District, and it goes back to 1899. And in one of the chapters, the notable graduates, and it makes about 30, and we just thought we could add to that. But to give you an example of what kind of people we're talking about and what kind of accomplishments and whatnot, off the list of probably top of the list would be Kathleen Kennedy, the noted Hollywood producer who says in here is the highest earning producer of all time. She would be at the top of the list. We go on to, let's see.
Was Kathleen Kennedy a classmate of yours?
No.
A little bit ahead of you.
Yeah, a little
right?
bit ahead
okay.
of me, yeah.
She's a little bit behind me, actually. She's yeah. probably like class of 72, I think.
We have Wayne Hawkins, who was in the NFL with the Raiders for his career, and he's been voted on to the Raiders' all-time team, something I hadn't heard of, and people seem to be enjoying this information. We have Rod Curl, Native American Indian, who was very successful as a golfer. So what we're trying to do is add to that and just to go with what the definition, I think we need to define the terms and be clear on what notable is.
That's a good idea, because I imagine you don't want someone who's notable for being a mass murderer.
Yeah, that's right. We're trying to do a positive thing here. And in Mike's book here about the history, he has how he defines the notable graduates. And maybe I can take a minute, just
sure.
a short paragraph. Because we're trying to get more names, so if everybody knows what we're talking about here. Okay, the basic premise behind this chapter is to highlight some of the graduates from Shasta Union High School District who have made significant contributions to society in one capacity or another. This is not a complete list, nor is it a list that determines one type of contribution to be more important than another. This group of people is simply a sampling of the dramatic effect a relatively small school district from Northern California has had on the community from which it draws its clientele, as well as its impact on our nation and many parts of the world.
You know, you announced that the Society was trying to get some more names and in a newsletter you put out last month. And one of the names that's turned up since this book was published was a fellow named Terry Riley. Can you talk about Terry Riley a little bit?
Yeah, that's right. That was the very first one. I was at the Historical Society going over these notable graduates, and a coworker of mine, Betty McKean, and we both said, well, you know, there's got to be more, you know, than the 30 since the school district's been here over 100 years. And she said, well, my classmate of mine was Terry Riley, and that sort of struck a bell. And I looked on the internet, and he has a Wikipedia page, and he was a graduate of Shasta High in probably the early 60s, and he was an avant-garde music composer, and he was known for a certain keyboard sound that was influential with the rock band The Who with Pete Townsend, particularly with a song that they're well known for called Baba O'Reilly. So that was just really fun. And any time I've told that to people, they think that's neat. You know, so that's the kind of thing we're looking for. Maybe not somebody that's really high profile, but, you know, had an impact in their particular niche that could be worldwide or beyond the region.
So it doesn't necessarily have to be somebody who's in the headlines. A lot of times you'll have scientists, you'll have maybe a veteran who's highly decorated or something like that, and this is what you're looking for, is for people to say, you know, guess what this person did, and here, you know, here's their class and all that. Maybe they didn't make it, you know, to the newspaper or magazines.
Exactly. It's not necessarily celebrity. You know, the three I listed off here that are already in the book, there's others included in here that are really notable scientists and written textbooks. There's Claire Hill, the engineer. So, yeah, no, it's definitely not just known, but mm-hmm. It has to be some sort of contribution, and it's not a slight to anybody else that didn't make a huge contribution, because, you know, everybody's in a certain way notable in, to their family or whatever. So
is,
I'm not trying to leave anybody out.
Is Rick Pacetti on that list, or a councilman? And former baseball player?
Is this alphabetized? No.
Well, he should be.
He was very popular up in Toronto when he started up there. I mean, in fact, I think he was voted one of the most popular players back there, because he was there when they first started the team.
And you're looking
at... Right. Well, thank you for that suggestion. That's what we're looking for. This is kind of a call out to the community, because I want to add to it. We've gotten some response, but we run into situations where it's proud parents, perhaps, you know, and whatnot, and it doesn't quite meet the criteria, but I don't want to hurt anybody's feeling.
Jay, if somebody has a suggestion for a name, how can they contact you at the Society?
Phone number, 243-3720.
Email address?
Email, shastahistorical.org.
Okay, that would be the website, but do you have a...
yeah, that's right. shastahistorical.org.
Okay, great. That's good. Now, the Historical Society does a whole bunch of things. It's been around, I think, 80 years.
That's right.
And it's got 700-odd members. 700 members, I should say, not odd members.
A couple of evens in there, too, Mark.
700 odd members, and they are obviously interested in local history. And when I was growing up, I always thought these people were ancient, and I didn't have that much interest in history, oddly enough, 20 years ago. But as I've gotten into middle age, I see that there's a lot more to it, and I am more interested in it. How is your membership holding up? Is it growing? Is it steady? And are you attracting more baby boomers these days?
We are, definitely, because our past is becoming history, I suppose, 50 years ago or the early 60s, and that's what we're seeing, and probably because there's, you know, more time behind us than ahead of us, possibly. Definitely, it's getting younger, and we're definitely always looking for even younger people to get involved, because it's just good for the community to have that knowledge.
I think your new president, Dave Scott, is maybe a boomer, maybe just a little bit on the...
He's young at heart, should we say, but yeah, no, and he'll be coming in a few months.
Right.
Okay. Yep. So how about you? Were you interested in history 20 years ago?
Slightly. I mean, I was raised in Old Shasta, and as a kid, it was always, you know, hiking around and playing out there, so I had that foundation. The Ruggles Brothers, which is the notorious...
The first wind chimes in Shasta County?
The wind chimes, so okay. Referring to the vigilante lynching there. And then later, reading K. California literature, Joaquin Miller, who had a lot to do with this area, was kind of the introduction as an adult. And then it led from there, taking local history classes with the Dottie Smith, who's a real jewel here as far as her what she's contributed to the historical record.
All right, we got to take a quick break here, but when we come back, we'll continue talking with Jay Thompson about the activities of the Shasta Historical Society.
Many of you know that Carl and I loved work out at Adamson's Peak Performance. Why? Because of results. Today I'm with Steve Wapshaw, who has an amazing testimony. Steve, share with our listeners what's happened for you.
Well, I was pushing 289 pounds, and I wasn't happy with where that was headed. So what I did was I combined the 30-minute fit small group training program with the Take Shape for Life program run by Amy down at Adamson's. And the results that I've had so far is I've lost 41 pounds. I feel 10 years younger. I'm being told that I look 10 years younger. I feel good in my body again. I've got great energy, and I'm very, very happy. I've got about 15 more pounds to lose, but I know I'm going to get there, and I'm looking forward to the results.
That is so awesome. Call Adamson's Peak Performance today for your transformation. That's 221-8006. Adamson's Peak Performance on Bocelli.
Join us this Sunday and every Sunday at C.R. Gibbs American Grill for Sunday brunch C.R. Gibbs style. Tantalize your taste buds with Eggs Benedict, biscuits and gravy, malted waffles with over a dozen toppings, our cooked-to-order omelet station, seasonal fruits, homemade pastas, scrumptious salads, delectable desserts, and much, much, much more. C.R. Gibbs favorites like Oak Fire Tri-Tip, seafood specials, crepes, and our famous peel-and-eat shrimp. Each Sunday, the chef will change up special creations just to keep you guessing. Savor the combination of great food, great company, and a great price of only $13.95 for an entertainment sensation only at C.R. Gibbs American Grill. Brunch is served from 10:30 a.m. to 2 p.m. and reservations are always recommended. Call 221-2335. 221-2335. We look forward to serving you this Sunday for brunch where entertainment thrives. C.R. Gibbs American Grill, Hilltop Drive, Reading.
If you're a diabetic Medicare Part B patient, you know how frustrating it can be receiving your supplies from a large mail order company. The supplies you get may be the wrong ones. They may be delayed for some reason, or they may not arrive at all. And when you call with questions about your order, you can seldom talk with a live person. Well, here's great news. Owens Healthcare can now help you with your Medicare diabetic supplies. We're local, reliable, and you can talk with a real person. Enjoy the convenience of receiving your supplies directly from our diabetic experts at Owens Healthcare on Court Street, downtown Reading, or have them delivered right to your door. We will automatically call you when your supplies are low so you won't run out. And we'll bill your Medicare Part B insurance as well as any supplemental insurance you may have, resulting in no out-of-pocket expense to you. Now, really, can you get that kind of service from a mail order company? Call today and have your supplies to you tomorrow. Owens Healthcare, making your life easier.
Welcome back, Reading. So much for our bump music. Anyway, this is Mark Beecham and Mike Quinn substituting for Carl and Linda Bott, who are on some well-deserved R&R in Palm Desert. And we're talking this morning, this segment, with Jay Thompson of the Shasta Historical Society, who is briefing us a little bit about a list of notable high school graduates that the society is trying to add on to. One of the other things that the society has done recently is publish a very attractive and interesting coffee table book called Shasta Memories, full of some wonderful and extraordinarily high-quality historical photographs of this area from about, what, 1880 to 1930?
Yeah, 1939. And as far as talking about the younger people getting involved, hopefully they'll do a book. The next book will be the 40s, the 1940s, 50s, and 60s, because there's a lot of interest in that. You're going to get World War II and whatnot. But, yeah, the one now, it's up to 1939.
And the coffee table book is a collaboration between the Historical Society and the Record Searchlight. And it costs, is it $39?
Yeah.
And you've got copies of it at
the
Society?
We do.
And I bought a copy of it for myself for Christmas and just loved it. And I would recommend anybody who's interested in history or even just not interested in history necessarily, but wants to appreciate this beautiful area more, pick up a copy of Shasta Memories. It's available both at the Historical Society and at the Record Searchlight. You can pick up a copy up at the Record Searchlight. Jake, one other thing I wanted to talk about briefly is the Historical Society itself. It's got a research library at its headquarters in downtown Reading, really just in the former mall on Market Street, right next to, I guess, Need to Speed, the go-kart
and
place.
And the Gorilla Bites.
And Gorilla Bites right. Have just opened. And people come in, and what can they do at this research library? They can research the history of a property if they own a business or a home downtown. They can look at old maps. What do people typically do when they come in?
There's genealogy. It's real popular now. And we've got a lot of the county records that people look up the relatives as far as the library. The Old West gold mines, we have maps, and people are very interested in that. Since the price of gold went up, we get requests for information from really across the country, emails and whatnot. So as far as the research library aspect of it, those are a couple things.
Good. So people are actually coming in and looking for maps of old gold mines?
That's right.
Wow, hope springs eternal, I guess.
They can't go into streams anymore, so now they're digging in the ground.
Yeah.
Okay. A couple other things that you have at the Society there. You've got exhibits that change regularly. What's your current exhibit?
Let me see. In our window, we have the Shasta Rail Preservation Society, I think I've called it right. They've got a replication of a caboose in our window. They've got the little stove and the seats and everything, and they've been really great. Rob Burrows, who's getting the Military Museum off the ground, has been very generous with his artifacts, and we usually have something of his on exhibit. Now there's some Civil War items, and we've got a Charles Lindbergh display coming up real soon. That's going to be really nice because there's some really letters and whatnot of his life, and he was up here at one time, so it works in with the local angle.
Great. How many... What would someone have to do to join the society? What are the annual dues?
You've got to come up with $20, and that's the annual dues. And with that, you get a copy of our annual publication, The Covered Wagon, which is a wealth of information, locally researched historical stories. And we have those all the way back to the 40s. You can purchase those as well separately, or you can read them in the library. You get the monthly newsletter with your membership and a little bit of, we're trying to work some member discounts out. We're going to talk about the cookbook, and we've got a cookbook out. Members will get a discount on that.
Yeah,
so
try
$20.
The cookbook is great. I have to say there's some interesting historical recipes in it, but also recipes that you might remember from your childhood, like Sloppy Joe's. I've made the Sloppy Joe's recipe a couple of times, and it felt like it was back in high school in the 70s. So anyway, we have got to take a break here soon, but I wanted to thank you again for coming on, and maybe you'd like to stick around because our next guest is Tammy Korn of the Bureau of Reclamation up at Shasta Dam. She's in the Public Affairs Office. She's going to talk a little bit about the dam and why it continues to attract visitors from all over the world. And I don't know about you, but when I was a kid, I certainly remember going up to Shasta Dam with my folks and having a picnic up there or feeding the deer, right? But Shasta Dam is one of those places, one of my favorite places in the North State, and just kind of gives me the chills to think about all the effort that went into building that dam, the imagination, the energy, the vision behind that dam. So if you'd be willing to stick around, great.
Yeah, we'll do.
Okay. We've got to take a break in a little bit, but I just wanted to say before we do that I appreciate Carl and Linda Bott's opportunity to me to sit in with Mike Quinn, who was sort of chaperoning me this morning. So we'll be right back in a couple minutes. ¶¶
From the Fox Business Network, the most powerful name in business news. A plan surfaces to get homeowners out from underwater. The Obama administration wants to spend $14 billion to push lenders to adjust mortgage terms, helping folks to stay out of foreclosure. Comes after criticism that not enough's been done to help homeowners from falling behind on their payments. One more adjustment to the GDP figures for the last 3 months of 2009. The Commerce Department now saying the economy grew at a rate of 5.6%. And starting in June, the Times of London will charge for access to its online edition. The British newspaper is owned by News Corp, which also owns Fox News. And how high can they go? The price of movie tickets on the rise again. In fact, starting today, it'll cost you $15.50 to see Alice in Wonderland in 3D right here in New York City. And for the IMAX show, $19.50. Wouldn't have enough change left over for popcorn with those prices. With the Fox Business Report, I'm Connell McShane.
Mark, technician from SafeLight Auto Glass.
Torn up roads can cause big problems for windshields. My last customer ignored a small chip on his, drove over a pothole, and crack. If only he called us sooner. When a chip's small, we can usually repair it in just a half hour with our state-of-the-art resin. A SafeLight repair is so reliable, we guarantee it for life. And with most insurance plans, there's no cost to you.
Call SafeLight at 1-800-800-2727.
SafeLight Repair, SafeLight Replace.
As hard as every 90 seconds in this country, a woman is raped. On Saturday, April 10th, real men in Shasta County are going to step into the shoes of women everywhere and walk a mile to bring awareness to all victims of sexual assault and domestic violence. Are you man enough to walk that mile? Won't you please step up and walk a mile to help end rape and sexual assault on April 10th, starting at 10 a.m. at the Market Street Promenade. High heels are requested for men, and you can call for Shoe Sources at 244-0118, extension 202. April is Sexual Assault Awareness Month. Please join the men's walk on April 10th. For more information or to register for the walk, please call 244-0118, extension 202, or go online to womensrefuge.org. And for every man who raises at least $100 for this cause, a special Walk a Mile t-shirt will be provided. Walk, toddle, skip, or limp, but please, won't you join us and do whatever it takes to make this walk a great success? April 10th at the Market Street Promenade, women everywhere will thank you.
If you're a diabetic Medicare Part B patient, you know how frustrating it can be receiving your supplies from a large mail order company. The supplies you get may be the wrong ones. They may be delayed for some reason, or they may not arrive at all. And when you call with questions about your order, you can seldom talk with a live person. Well, here's great news. Owens Healthcare can now help you with your Medicare diabetic supplies. We're local, reliable, and you can talk with a real person. Enjoy the convenience of receiving your supplies directly from our diabetic experts at Owens Healthcare on Court Street, downtown Reading, or have them delivered right to your door. We will automatically call you when your supplies are low so you won't run out. And we'll bill your Medicare Part B insurance as well as any supplemental insurance you may have, resulting in no out-of-pocket expense to you. Now, really, can you get that kind of service from a mail order company? Call today and have your supplies to you tomorrow. Owens Healthcare, making your life easier.
Welcome back, Reading. This is Mark Beecham and Mike Quinn sitting in for Carl and Linda Bott, who are away in Palm Desert this weekend. Carl, I hope, is getting in some golf, and Linda is catching up with some of her Dean Martin Gold Digger acquaintances from back in the 70s, I guess, in the 80s. Anyway, we're here today. This segment is with Tammy Korn of the Public Affairs Office at Shasta Dam, and Tammy works at one of my favorite places in all of the North State. That dam just frankly gives me patriotic chills whenever I go up there. It's just a mind-boggling accomplishment, a living testament to an America that dreamt big and dreamed big dreams and accomplished big things. And it's even more amazing when you consider the time that that dam was built, back in the very depths of the Depression. And it's, as I tell friends, it's damn inspiring. Anyway, while a lot of us, these days take visitors to the Sundial Bridge, which is a beautiful bridge, I'm certainly not knocking it, don't get me wrong, Shasta Dam remains an international tourist attraction for us. And every time I go up there, I see busloads of Chinese or Indians or people from Eastern Europe. You hear lots of different languages spoken on the dam tours or people walking across the top of the dam there. Anyway, Tammy, thanks for joining us today, and maybe you could tell us a little bit about the profile of the visitors at the dam.
Well, good morning. Yeah, at Shasta Dam, we get visitors from all over the world. As you said, Mark, you know, we get them from a lot of folks from Eastern India. We get a lot of folks from Europe, and we get a lot of local folks. You know, so we really do see people from all over the world there.
What do you think the attraction is for people who come from India or China?
Well, you know, they're really interested in the technology and the infrastructure that we've got here. When you look at it, Shasta Dam is the second largest concrete dam in the entire country. And they're aware of that over there. They're aware of the magnitude of the project and the size and what it does.
So even though we kind of take dams for granted, and some of us actually, some of the environmentalists are pretty hostile to dams and would like to see some of them removed, these folks realize that these big projects like Shasta Dam actually are necessary for the kind of life that we lead today and have made it possible for California to become the economic powerhouse that it is.
Yes, that's true. And we get 2 million visitors a year plus out playing on the lake, and they think recreation is a big draw, which it is. It's a huge impact to our economy, but when you look at it in the big picture, the water from Shasta Lake that goes through the dam is generating electricity. It's also helping irrigate over 5 million acres of farmland, which produces about 65% of the nation's fresh food supply. So it's huge.
Now, when the dam was constructed, recreation was more or less an afterthought. I mean, after flood control and agriculture. Am I correct?
Correct, yeah. The prime reasons for building the dam first had to do with flood control and then providing that water storage so during the hot summer months we had a water supply that we could use.
And the dam was constructed in over a period of 5 years, I think, from about 1939 to 1945, during a very, very difficult economic period in this country. And it attracted literally thousands of men from all over the country to this area in hopes of finding work.
Yes, it did. You know, initially when they started the dam, it was the Great Depression. It was towards the end, and a lot of folks not having any work were traveling from all over the United States to come and literally camping out in the hillsides just waiting for the opportunity to grab one of those jobs. They did hire 4,700 people to build the dam, and right in the middle of all that, World War II broke out and everything changed.
How did it change? Suddenly they must have had labor shortages, right? People left?
Exactly, for a short period of time. Initially there were more people looking for work than there were jobs to offer them, unfortunately. But with the war, it flipped over. All of a sudden there were more jobs and not enough people to do all those jobs, and so some things changed. We got women in the workforce. We had actually Opal Fox was the first woman in the kitchen, and that was something that was taboo back then, to have a woman in the kitchen, in the camp kitchen, for example.
Fascinating. How many workers who worked on the dam are still with us today? Do you have any idea?
Well, yeah. As a matter of fact, we have an annual reunion every year, and it's coming up May 1st. Last year, I think it was 19 that were able to make it to the reunion. So I'm sure there's some out there that weren't able to make it to the reunion, but the numbers are getting smaller every year, so we really want to honor these special people.
And the workers are honored as part of the Shasta Lake City Damboree, is that right?
Correct. We've joined the reunion with the Damboree celebration, which is a big celebration celebrating the completion of Shasta Dam. These workers come out, and we have a special barbecue for them, and, you know, like I say, we make a deal out of it because these guys worked incredibly hard to build that dam that's still standing and doing its job today.
What kind of wages did they make when they were working on that dam?
Well, the average worker made about 50 cents an hour, but they ranged anywhere from 25 cents an hour, which was minimum wage at the time, all the way up to a little over 90 cents, and then the divers were paid $1.25, which was huge money back then.
So a dollar an hour was considered a very good wage in those days.
It was. Yeah, minimum wage only 25 cents an hour, so if you kind of use that as a barometer, you can kind of get an idea. And especially during the Depression, they didn't even have jobs available for a lot of folks.
I can't even imagine the diving equipment that, you know, they had to pay them that much more. Yeah, I'm sure it wasn't anywhere near the technology we have today.
Right. They didn't even have little pocket calculators, much less computers, and the technical stuff that we would use today to build a dam like Shasta. Really, they just didn't have that. It was all backbreaking stuff, a lot of the stuff. But, you know, it's kind of amazing. I look back at it and I see how they built Shasta Dam. The basic techniques, believe it or not, have not changed. Mm-hmm. Just some of the technology, the equipment, but the technique of building the dam hasn't changed at all. They're doing the same thing today.
All right, we've got to take a break, but if you have a question for Tammy Korn, our number is 605-4567, and this is Mark Beecham and Mike Quinn on KCNR 1460.
Sheer bliss. That's how I wake up every morning since the purchase of my Natura Latex All-Organic Mattress from Crisson's Mattress Gallery. No more aching back, no more tossing and turning, all because Natura and Mother Nature have mastered the art of combining comfort and durability by bringing together latex, wool, cotton, and bamboo to give a great night's sleep every night. Now with a special purchase, Crisson's Mattress Gallery is passing the savings on to you with 30, 40, and 50% off. Don't miss this chance to sleep like a kid again. These prices are limited to stock on hand. Hurry in to see Steve and Sonny and let them show you the mattress that will give you blissful sleep also. 1 year same as cash, OAC, free local delivery or free bed frame, and always free haul away of your old mattress. Adjustable beds, conventional latex beds, and chemical-free organic beds. Choose from several models and save up to 50% off the regular price. Only at your locally owned Crisson's Mattress Gallery, Redding's exclusive Natura mattress dealer, 2355 Athens Avenue, next to Lazy Boy Furniture.
Tobacco & Brew is the place to visit when you're looking for that unique cigar or special cup of brewed coffee. The women that work at Tobacco & Brew are well-versed in their expertise, whether helping you choose the right cigar, tobacco accessory, or making that soy latte with no foam drink. Additionally, there is now a well-appointed room to enjoy your coffee, use your computer with the free Wi-Fi, or have a meeting with your friends or organization. Tobacco & Brew, located at 2143 Hilltop Drive. So much more than just a great tobacco shop.
Hey, Rachel, did you hear about TehamaTradingPost.com?
I just heard about them on the radio. Did you go to their website?
Yes, I did. It's awesome. You can sell just about anything you want, from autos to real estate.
So it's free online classifieds?
Yes, and TehamaTradingPost.com has coupons for local merchants, and you can view the website from your cell phone.
Dad, can I post ads for new employees?
Yes, you can, and that's free also.
Dad, thanks for recommending TehamaTradingPost.com. I sold my boat, and I was able to buy a new car and find an apartment for our two new employees.
TehamaTradingPost.com. Buy local, shop local, dine local, stay local.
Come join us for the second annual Boondocker Ball, featuring the Straight Ahead Big Band, presented by the Northern California Veterans Museum. A 40-style USO dinner and dance, Saturday night, March 27th. A great night honoring our veterans. All proceeds go toward the opening of the Northern California Veterans Museum in Shasta Lake City. For tickets, visit Jones Fort for Tobacco and Brew, or call Christine Sullivan at 223-9329.
She's in the Army now.
Hi, I'm Mark Montgomery, Director of Adult Services of Shasta County. Reaching the golden years should be a time to treasure grandchildren and reminisce about the past. Unfortunately, many older Shasta County residents are abused and alone. People don't like to talk about this shameful secret. Sometimes, the people who take care of the elderly or disabled also take advantage of them. Trust can be exploited when no one knows. It's time everyone knows. Call Adult Protective Services of Shasta County on our 24-hour hotline at 225-5777.
Welcome back, Reading. This is Mark Beecham and Mike Quinn sitting in for Carl and Linda Bott, and we're talking to Tammy Korn of the Public Affairs Office at Shasta Dam, and I understand we've got a caller on line one. Reva. Are you there, Reva?
Yes, I am.
Hi, do you have a question or a comment?
I would just like to thank you and Tammy for the plug for the Shasta Dam Workers Reunion.
Okay. And when is that coming up?
Oh, Tammy had the actual date. I am ashamed to say I don't remember.
All right, but typically it's part of the Damboree, which takes place in what month?
In May.
In May, okay. And you would like to see more recognition, perhaps, of the dam workers at the Damboree. Your father worked on the dam, is that right?
Yes, he did.
And he also.
And my husband and I both worked out there for the Bureau of Reclamation.
Great. What did your father do?
He was a cement finisher. He was one of those that went to work. He wanted to go into the military, but. Or into the CBs, and he was considered an essential employee by Mr. Crow, so he, like a lot of the others his age, were frozen out there and prevented from leaving.
Mr. Crow, you just mentioned, was the construction
superintendent.
And he oversaw the construction of Hoover Dam and then Shasta Dam. And a lot of people don't realize this. He's buried at the Redding Cemetery in a very, very plain, almost unremarkable grave there. All it says is Frank Crow and one word, builder.
That's right. He was a very down-to-earth person and was very much admired and respected by all of the employees. He got his start, I believe, in Wyoming on the Jackson Hole Dam.
And you live actually very close to the home that he built here in Redding, right?
About two blocks from it.
And the home is over Placer and Orange?
Placer and Orange was later owned by Dr. Ryan, and it was just a white frame, very, very striking building.
And a very attractive and quite a impressive building, or impressive house for the time that it was built in Redding.
Yeah, it was. It's right uphill from the old Magnolia School.
Great. Well, Reba, thank you very much for the call, and maybe I'll see you at the workers' reunion this May.
I hope so, because there aren't too many of us left. We're all getting up into our late 70s, 80s, 90s, and we need to get more of the family involvement, because there are a lot of them who stayed here at the end of the project.
Right. It was a huge boost to the local economy, and as you said, a lot of the people stayed, and we have descendants. If you look through the list of names of workers on that project in the book that your father wrote,
thank you.
the Three Shastas, you see a lot of familiar names.
Oh, you do. And I'm one of those who grew up thinking when I got out of Shasta High, I was getting out of here. And now I wouldn't live anywhere else. You are just 2 or 3 miles or hours from anything you want to see.
Right.
So.
And Jay Thompson of the Historical Society, he's here, actually. And there are several books that are about the dam available at the Society, both to purchase and to borrow or to read in the library.
Al Roca has a lot of them. And that historical society is something else. And I have to call them with three names to add to their list.
Okay, you've got three names to add to the list. Okay, great.
Uh-huh.
Well, please do call Jay or anybody at the society. Reva, we've got to move on here to a break.
Yes, thank you very much, Mark. Bye-bye.
Thank you very much. Tammy, back to you. Before we have to go to the break, tell us a little bit about the tours you offer at the dam.
Well, we have free guided tours of Shasta Dam. We have a lot of fun on these tours. We like to have a few laughs, and we like to send the visitors away, hopefully, understanding a little bit more about the purpose of Shasta Dam.
They're free. That's what a great deal.
Yeah, you don't find that too often these days, especially with the federal government.
And I took a
don't
tour.
Tell them.
I took
That's
a tour
right.
a couple of years ago of Hoover Dam, and that set me back $15 or something
Shh,
like that.
Guys, they're listening.
I'm gonna give you ideas, right? But tell us about the tours. How frequently are they? And I know since 9/11 there have been some security concerns at Shasta Dam. And what can you and what can't you take on the tour?
Yeah, after very thorough security checks at the dam there, we've come up with a plan to be able to offer the tours to the public again. We have tours 4 times a day this time of year. We do offer them year-round, but in the summertime, we'll increase that up to 6 tours a day. As when you come out on the tour, you will have a walk out to the elevator where the tour starts. We ask that no weapons, of course, be brought, and that means even like little pocket knives, and that's something for some of those guys. It's hard to get rid of that little pocket knife out of their pocket, but got to leave that behind for the tour. We also ask that no bags or purses of any kind come on the tour, and then no electronic items like iPods or those type of things. You can bring a camera and a cell phone. Those are the two electronic items that are allowed. So bring your camera, take lots of pictures, have a lot of fun on the tour.
Okay, because I know after 9/11, for several years, there were some restrictions out there, including a ban on all cell phones or cameras, but that has changed in the last 6 months or so, I guess.
Yeah, it has. We've actually reassessed the security and, you know, looked at it, and this goes all the way back to our security professionals back in Washington, D.C., and Homeland Security folks, and address some of the issues that they had with those items, and we're allowing folks to be able to take them again, which is great because I love those pictures.
Great. We've got to take a break, but if you have any questions for Tammy Korn about Shasta Dam or any memories about Shasta Dam, give us a call at the studio, 605-4567. This is KCNR 1460.
Mark your calendar for the event of the year, the date April 15th. It's the show Shine, Wine and Dine at Anselmo Vineyards. You're going to get to meet celebrities like Bo Hopkins and Paula Matt, both original cast members of American Graffiti. You're also going to get to see that 1951 Merc and that awesome yellow coupe that was also featured in American Graffiti. Come to Anselmo Winery and get to see it all. Show Shine, Wine and Dine starts at 11 a.m. on April 15th. This is the place you want to be. O55 hamburgers, fries, shakes, and banana splits. And you know what else? The beautiful and talented Beverly D'Angelo will make a very special musical guest appearance starting at 3. What a blast! I'm telling you, Anselmo Vineyards is the place to be. 50 awesome cars, prizes, celebrities, live music by Double Take. Wow, what a party! Anselmo Vineyards Show Shine Wine and Dine, April 15th. Easter is a time for families, and Market Street Steakhouse has an affordable brunch menu for the entire family. With prices ranging from $8 to $12, you can try their three-cheese quiche, served with your choice of sausage, ham or bacon, and potatoes. Or how about a vegetarian or Denver omelet, also served with potatoes, sausage, or bacon. And for the pancake lovers, they have scrumptious blueberry chocolate chip or banana walnut pancakes. All of these tasty brunches include fresh fruit, assorted scones, and chocolate and strawberries for dessert. The kids can choose between a two-egg omelet or silver dollar blueberry pancakes. And kids under 3 eat for free. Easter Sunday only from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. So hurry and make your reservations now at Market Street Steakhouse. Call 241-1777. Market Street Steakhouse is located at 1777 Market Street, next door to the Cascade Theater.
Welcome back, Reading. This is Mark Beecham and Mike Quinn sitting in for Carl and Linda Bott on KCNR 1460. We're talking to Tammy Korn of the Public Affairs Office at Shasta Dam, who's telling us a little bit about the history of the dam. And Tammy, you conducted tours up at the dam for many years. Tell us some of the more amazing facts about that dam, which a lot of us, you know, again, we take it for granted. It's in our backyard, and we, when visitors come, we take them to the Sundial Bridge, we take them to Whiskeytown Lake, but we don't take them on a tour of the dam.
Well, Shasta Dam is the second largest concrete dam in the entire country, and I don't think a lot of people are aware of that, and it is right here in our backyard. It also has 15 million tons of concrete, which is enough concrete to make a sidewalk that would be long enough to wrap all the way around the world. The penstocks that lead the water into the generators are big enough for buses to fit through, and these are all the things that people remember after the tour. We have tons of these amazing facts that they give on the tour.
How long did you conduct tours up there?
I actually have done tours here at Shasta Dam for 9 years, and then I was at another dam before that.
And give us a sense of some of the typical questions that people ask.
Well, most people are wanting to know about how much water is behind the dam, how much water, how much electricity that we're being producing in the power plant, those type of things. And they're wanting to know, why is this dam here? You know, they look at it a lot for recreation, and when we start to give the big picture, they start to be really amazed at all the things that Shasta Dam does.
What do you like most about working up at the dam?
Oh, definitely the people. I love meeting people from all over the world, and most people, I mean, the huge majority of people that walk through, I mean, they're happy, they're in a good mood, they're here to see the dam, they're here on vacation, they're having a great time, or they've brought family up, and they live locally, and they've brought their friends and family to show the place off. So we just love visiting with the people.
We're going to find out this year just how important Shasta Dam is, because really Trinity and Oroville, all these dams are part of the Central Valley Project, and you have to see the maps of how they interact with each other. You know, water coming over from Trinity through Whiskeytown into the river and Shasta. But Shasta really is in better shape than any other lake, I think, in California at this point.
It is, and in large part that has to do with the fact that it's rain-fed versus a snowmelt. Shasta Lake actually gets 90% of its water from rain. And as you know, we've had some really good rains this winter, which has helped us out a lot. And it is part of the Central Valley Project, which is the world's most elaborate irrigation system. So we are pulling water from all kinds of different places, pushing it into different places where it's needed.
Pulling literally from Oregon, you know, the watershed. If you look at Lassen, which is south of the dam, but the water flows from Hat Creek, you know, off of Mount Lassen into there. You come from Klamath Lake, where it goes into the Pitt River or Fall River. And starts there, a big lake. It comes through actually as a river coming out of the ground. That's coming from Klamath Lake. So the watershed for our lake is just incredible.
It's huge.
Yeah, a lot of people think, and I may be wrong about this, but a lot of people think that our water behind that dam, they say our water, actually ends up in swimming pools in Bel Air and Brentwood. I don't believe that's actually true. I mean, our water goes down to irrigate the crops in the San Joaquin Valley, but it doesn't go over into the water supply, the drinking water supply of Southern California, does it?
It does not. Actually, the Central Valley Project ends at Bakersfield, which is north of Los Angeles, mm-hmm. and primarily irrigation water.
Now, going back to the construction of Shasta Dam, when World War II broke out, you had a labor shortage, and you were saying during the break that a lot of, the company building Shasta Dam sort of turned a blind eye to child labor laws in the wake of World War II. Is that right?
Yeah, the labor laws were much different back then as well. And, they didn't have a lot of the things that we have today, like Social Security cards and those kind of things. So if you came up and you said you were 18 and you're old enough to work, they put you to work.
One of the questions I always hear people ask during the dam tours, and I go on one probably once every 6 months or even more frequently than that, is how many people are buried inside the dam?
We call that a dam myth. There really is no people buried in Shasta Dam. The way they actually did the construction, they actually packed the concrete very tightly, and they worked in crews, and so somebody would very quickly be noticed. Plus, with 8 cubic yards of concrete, it ends up being about 4 inches thick, so you would have to be pretty skinny to be buried in a load of concrete.
So, just to be sure, just to be absolutely clear, there are no bodies buried in Shasta Dam?
No bodies in Shasta Dam.
Okay.
Well, then it's not the Shasta County Cemetery that some people call it, right?
No.
All right, good. How many visitors do you get at the dam, on the dam tour?
Well, we have about 100,000 folks that come up and visit, and about 70% of those end up out doing the tour.
Wow, okay. That's terrific. Let's see.
Okay, when we talk about, there's a lot of talk about water and stuff like this. You hit a point that our water really is used for irrigation, and when you're talking about shipping all this water down south, that's a myth. Let's really make that very clear. That's really important.
That's true. About 80% of our water supply that we send down to the Sacramento River ends up as irrigation water. Mm-hmm. The other 20% is spread between what they call municipal and industrial water, so for homes and businesses. We have a certain allotment for the environment. We take care of the fish and the wildlife in the river. We also are taking care of salinity control down in the Bay Delta. The ocean will tend to creep into the bay and end up in that salt in the freshwater supply. So keeping the water nice and steady heading out to the ocean helps with that.
Having worked up there, I managed Bridge Bay, and we were really concerned about the water because, every foot of water was dollars to us in the tourism dollars, and I know it wasn't built for that, but it was very important to us. And so we got to learn a lot. And I will tell you that the people up there are blamed for everything in the world. You guys do a great job controlling that lake up there. It's a tough job, and when you can almost walk across the river down here sometimes in the winter, you're storing every drop that you can.
We really are, and it's very tough, a tough table to sit at. I'm glad I'm not the one sitting personally at that table, but it is a big, big fight for water, especially on low years, for environment or people or for power. I mean, power is a big part of it as well.
Yes, that supplies a lot, and then now you've rewound the turbines up there so that you're generating just as much as you possibly can.
Yes, we just recently went through a big upgrade that really top-notch technology inside those generators.
How is the water situation at the dam?
Actually doing very good. The lake is about 27 feet from being full, which is exactly where we want to see it this year, 41 feet higher than it was on this date last year.
Oh, that's terrific. Well, thank you very much for joining us this morning, Tammy. I appreciate you coming in and sharing what you know about the dam and your enthusiasm for it. This is KCNR 1460, and this is KCNR Shasta Redding.
Fox News Radio, I'm Dave Anthony. He wants
a world without nuclear weapons.
So President Obama has worked out a deal to aim fewer nukes at Russia. Fox News Radio's Mike Makowicz live in Washington.
After a morning phone call with Russian President Dmitry Medvedev, President Obama had an announcement to make.
Today, we have reached agreement on one of my administration's top national security priorities, a pivotal new arms control agreement.
The two presidents will meet in Prague in the Czech Republic to sign a new nuclear arms reduction treaty. The agreement will reportedly reduce both nations' nuclear stockpiles to 1,550 warheads and 700 intercontinental and submarine-launched missiles. It would have to be ratified by the Senate. Dave?
Mike, homeowners out of work or who owe more than their house is worth, getting new help from the government. Fox News Radio's Rich Johnson live at the White House.
Well, Dave, the new plan contains several strategies, including incentives to lenders to reduce people's payments, replacing existing mortgages with new loans backed by the FHA, and helping lenders eliminate home equity loans and other second mortgages that right now get in the way of loan modification efforts. These ideas and more aimed at what the administration says is helping responsible homeowners stay in their homes. Dave?
Rich, Democrats say it will
make a difference in the lives of the American people.
Republicans counter it'll make health care worse. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi sending to the president the final changes to reform for him to sign next week. A fiery crash lit up a Kentucky highway before dawn, leaving a deadly mess. Fox News Radio's Jennifer Kuiper has this live.
Dave, a coroner says at least 10 people have died in a crash on I-65 in the Bowling Green area. Kentucky State Police Lieutenant Dave Jude tells Fox News Radio.
The tractor trailer has crossed over the median on I-65 and has collided head-on with a 15-passenger van. Obviously a chaotic scene.
The semi burst into flames. The coroner says Mennonites, men, women, and children were inside the van. Dave?
Jennifer, a rescue underway now at sea. A South Korean Navy ship is sinking off the North Korean coast. Why, we don't know yet, but they're trying to save more than 100 seamen. Fox News Radio, fair and balanced.
Sears Automotive Center.
I'm a bit rough on my car. What can you fix?
Everything. The Sears Blue Automotive Crew are the experts when it comes to total car care.
Tires and wheels.
Huge selection and lowest price guaranteed.
Maintenance, service, and mechanical repairs.
Oil changes, brake shocks, and struts.
Accessories, supplies.
Diehard batteries to cargo carriers.
Come into the Sears Automotive Center to keep your car running better longer. Now through March 27th, save on Goodyear, Bridgestone, Michelin, and more. Also, get a standard Valvoline oil change for only $19.99. That's right, $19.99. Visit SearsAuto.com for more great deals. Exclusions apply. See store for details. Sears, life well spent.
Right now at the Home Depot, take 10% off Energy Star appliances of $398 or more. Plus, get instant savings every day with free delivery and haul away, which combined can save you up to an additional $79. No rebates, no hassles. Brands like GE, Maytag, and LG are more affordable than ever thanks to 10% off Energy Star appliances and free delivery. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. Through March 31st, U.S. only. See store for details.
Kane is turning to Sarah Palin again, the 2008 Republican presidential ticket reuniting at a rally for the senator in Tucson, Arizona later today.
Arizona Republican Senator John McCain is seeking his fifth term, but also seeking the GOP nomination, a former congressman and talk show host, J.D. Hayworth. The latest polls show Hayworth creeping up on McCain as he casts the veteran senator as not conservative enough.
Look, I love a good scrap. I love a good campaign, and I'm enjoying this one. It's a lot of fun.
And today, McCain seeks to bring his constituents fun by rallying for the first time since his failed presidential campaign with former Alaska Governor Sarah Palin. Hayworth isn't putting much stock in their appearance.
I look forward to having Sarah Palin's support following the primary on August 24th.
Jessica Rosenthal, Fox News Radio.
Suspended NBA star Gilbert Arenas could learn if he goes behind bars today at a sentencing this afternoon. The Washington Wizards star has already pleaded guilty to having taken guns into his team's locker room. A Connecticut couple could be sent to the joint, accused of trying to get their kid to smoke pot.
Relatives like Stephanie Way say there's a perfectly good explanation.
He's not a child using marijuana. He's just a child that picked up something that shouldn't have been picked up.
That something was a water pipe the three-year-old filmed by his parents apparently attempting to smoke marijuana.
There wasn't no actual marijuana in the bowl. It was just something he thought, you know, to pick up and put in his mouth.
Police were in the house on an unrelated warrant and discovered the tape.
That's something that should have happened. And I feel really bad.
Kristen Aguirre and Thomas Way both face several charges. In New York, Todd Starnes, Fox News Radio.
Well, his crystal ball missed this. A California fortune teller convicted of tricking two teenage girls, telling them bad things would happen to them unless they had sex with him. He faces up to 30 years in prison at next month's sentencing. On Wall Street, the Dow's up 60 points. Fox News Radio. I'm Dave Anthony.
Welcome back, Reading. This is Mark Beecham and Mike Quinn sitting in for Carl and Linda Bott on KCNR 1460 AM. We're streaming at KCNR1460.com. And the number in the studio here is 605-4567. And we're joined in this segment by Frank Strazzarino of the Greater Reading Chamber of Commerce and Jeff Avery, who's on the line. Jeff, are you with us?
I sure am.
Great. Well, thank you for joining us. Thought I'd have you two guys on this morning to talk a little bit about the local economy. And are there any signs that the economy is beginning to improve? Frank?
Well, when I talk to some folks around, I've heard some brave talk about, well, we've had a good month, or we're hoping for a better month next time. So we're the eternal optimists. But I think businesses, the reality is they're kind of still hunkering down and being very cautious with their expenses, doing everything they can to promote their business. But we still have some work to do with this economy, which is also why we're getting that business park open and promoting our community with the Google effort or anything and everything we can do to tell people to shop ready.
Jeff, what's your perspective on it?
Yeah, I think part of it also depends on the sector. I think the retail and restaurants, there seem to be seeing some leveling off, you know, versus the construction industry. They're still, you know, they're really still hurting a lot. It's going to take a lot of time for that part of our industry recovers. And I think Frank's right on the money that, you know, shopping ready and shopping local makes a huge difference. If there's something you can buy local rather than going out of town, that means the tax dollars and that money that's circulating through our local economy is going to be increased.
You know, there was a presentation given before the Shasta Union High School District Board a couple weeks back by their finance guy, and he basically said that it might be 2015 before the economy is recovered to even 2006 levels. I certainly hope he is overly bearish, but do you think that's possible?
I haven't heard that specific number, and boy, that's a little too far out. I've heard some people say 2011 is a turnaround year, and you know what we like when we talk here about local control and our local economy is trying to, as much as we can, control our own destiny. And sales tax is still king, which is why when we roll out the buy car win $10,000 promotion, we bring the speaker on the 350 program, which is pick three merchants, spend $50 a month there. We do some other activities. We're going to try to do everything we can to encourage people to shop here. And also the discussion of the internet, we're seeing a lot of leakage, a lot of people buying things through places like Amazon.com, and we're trying to show them that it's not the same as up close, personal, buy local. If you have a problem, you can return it, and also getting a relationship with a local retailer.
You know, Jeff, you mentioned the various sectors here, and I'm from memory here. We've got construction, we've got real estate, kind of related here, services, finance, transportation, medical, government. Maybe I'm missing one or two, but where do you see the recovery coming first? In what sector, Jeff?
Well, the sector's got to come from the, you know, the for-profit businesses. I mean, there's what drives everything going on. And for our area, you know, that's, for the most part, small businesses. You know, the medical sector is, obviously, we have two fantastic hospitals locally. I happen to sit on the board for both of those. And one of the things they've noticed as of late is that there has been a little bit of a downturn in their patient counts. But they said that always lags about 15 to 18 months behind the economy. So they're always looking a year to a year and a half out to see where they think they're going to be at, because they can see the economic indicators. But it's definitely going to come from the small businesses. And when you start hearing that their businesses are picking up, that their revenues are picking up, and I think the big thing is when you start seeing that they're starting to hire again in greater numbers, that's when you know that at least locally, there's been a change for the best.
I'll tell you something that I noticed. You know, our studios down here for both KLXR and KCNR are on Market Street, and we can see, you know, the new promenade down there where they've taken the roof off, and businesses right here along the street. And when you have bad weather, you have bad business. And a lot of these people do not go out. You've got short days in January and February, and we've had a lot of cloudy, rainy weather. Once that sun comes out, people do come out.
And it's exciting to see some of the new businesses getting started downtown. Grilla Bites, for an example, and I was walking down the mall area, and it's outstanding to see what they've done with the new places coming in, the paint jobs, and I was over at seeing the miniature golf, and that's fantastic. So some good things are really happening. There's reasons to come out now.
Isn't Need to Speed that new miniature golf course they put in there? When people see that, I've never seen anything like that. I mean, I've been to miniature golf courses and probably played my best golf on those, but I walked in there and walked through that whole thing, and people are just going to be absolutely taken back by what they have done there. So again, it's foot traffic. People will be coming down there, and it's very inexpensive family entertainment, so families will be walking through now.
And all that work was locally done, the painting and all the repairs, everything there. It's very impressive.
We got to take a quick break, but when we come back, we'll continue our discussion about the local economy with Frank Strazzarino and Jeff Avery of the Chamber of Commerce. This is Mark Beecham and Mike Quinn with for KCNR 1460 AM.
With the arrival of spring, it's time to start planning your home improvement projects. Need a new screen door or new windows, a new surround sound system, or high-def TV? Visit the booths of Nicolette Glass and Clyde's Home Entertainment at the original Spring Home and Garden Expo presented by Popovics Productions. Are you planning for a new carpet and flooring, a new heating and air conditioning unit, or a new spa? Talk with Shasta Lake Floors, Alliance Heating and Air, and Phoenix Spas. Come see the newest in ideas and color designs and green technology March 26th, 27th, and 28th at the Fairgrounds in Anderson.
If you're a diabetic Medicare Part B patient, you know how frustrating it can be receiving your supplies from a large mail order company. The supplies you get may be the wrong ones. They may be delayed for some reason, or they may not arrive at all. And when you call with questions about your order, you can seldom talk with a live person. Well, here's great news. Owens Healthcare can now help you with your Medicare diabetic supplies. We're local, reliable, and you can talk with a real person. Enjoy the convenience of receiving your supplies directly from our diabetic experts at Owens Healthcare on Court Street, downtown Reading, or have them delivered right to your door. We will automatically call you when your supplies are low so you won't run out. And we'll bill your Medicare Part B insurance as well as any supplemental insurance you may have, resulting in no out-of-pocket expense to you. Now, really, can you get that kind of service from a mail order company? Call today and have your supplies to you tomorrow. Owens Healthcare, making your life easier.
Hi, this is Doug with Gold Leaf Nursery. It seems like yesterday our nursery and landscape business was just a little seedling itself. But the truth is, we've been serving Shasta County for 35 years. That's right, Gold Leaf Nursery has been growing shrubs, trees, vines, vegetable plants, and flats of color since 1975. We will be celebrating through the month of April. Yes, the whole month, and what does that mean to you? Incredible raffles, great seminars, refreshments. Did I mention sales? Just in time for spring bloomers, whether they are trees, shrubs, or flowering vines, they are all going to be on sale. We have an excellent supply of Daphne odora. The sweet aroma of this plant, planted by the front door or window, will permeate a room, and you won't need a plug-in air freshener. Are you looking for organic soils or fertilizers? We have a full line of organics, including Denali Gold. If you have not been into Gold Leaf Nursery, we invite you in to check us out for yourself and see why so many customers tell us what a great nursery we have. Gold Leaf Nursery is located at 6186 Churn Creek Road across from Tucker Oaks Golf Course, just a quarter mile from airport. Or check us out on the web at goldleafnursery.com.
Preparing for a landscape project with new plants and shrubs? Need a tractor to help you get the job done? Meet with the professionals at Axner Excavating, Shasta Growers, and Team Power. The Spring Home and Garden Expo showcases the best in new products, ideas, and design concepts by local businesses. All happening Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, March 26th, 27th, and 28th. The original Home and Garden Expo features many more local businesses, local ideas, and offers great savings with exclusive show discounts. Your premier local Home and Garden Expo, March 26th, 27th, and 28th at the Shasta District Fairgrounds.
Welcome back, Reading. This is Mark Beecham and Mike Quinn sitting in for Carl and Linda Bott on KCNR 1460 AM. Mike, about 15 minutes past the hour. What's the weather forecast?
Well, for Friday, March the 26th, we're going to have a beautiful end of March day here. Its high is going to be around 72 degrees today, a little partly cloudy. I don't think we're going to see the excitement we saw yesterday in that fantastic storm that rolled through here. A little bit of hail, a little bit of rain, get everything wet. There was actually a little frost on, starting the frost on some of the windows today, a little fog on the river, but it's going to warm up to 72 to 74 degrees, and we're looking for a beautiful weekend.
That's the best news I've heard all day. Back to Frank Strazzarino and Jeff Avery of the Chamber of Commerce. Frank, Do you have any stories, anecdotes about businesses doing interesting or novel things to improve their business a little bit during this unending downturn?
Well, I think the auto promotion is the one that I had mentioned a little bit earlier, and we're getting ready to roll out a program for anybody that buys a car, truck, new car, truck in town the next 90 days will be eligible to win $10,000. And we're trying to stem some of the flow of people buying vehicles out of town. At some point, there's been as many as 40% of the registered vehicles in town have purchased in other places besides Shasta County. And it's a combination of some Chico and some Oregon and some down in Roseville and Sacramento. There's this perception that you get a better deal by buying a car out of town, and we don't believe that's true. So that'll be one of the things. I also mentioned the 350 program, and the speaker that will be coming to us in June will talk about supporting locally your economy and buying some things here. What we think, and in a bit maybe I'll tell you about our customer service seminar, we'd like to think our customer service is far superior to other places, and we're encouraging people to come out. Part of that shop rating theme is, you know, shop rating. Look at the community. Consider what's here. So we're hoping that people will continue to train their employees so we can really excel in that particular area.
What's the connection between buying locally and police on the street and firemen in the firehouse?
Well, and we've made that connection. We've had very good support by this station, and Mike's been a real advocate for us with everything we've done to promote the shop rating theme. And Mike Quinn has helped run some commercials for us featuring the police chief and the fire chief, saying fundamentally, when you shop in town, those dollars come into our community to play for public safety, police service, fire. Also, our parks and our roads are our direct recipients of buying local. The general fund, it's something like 44% is sales tax revenue, and that's why things are down. People are buying less. And I also mentioned the Internet. Some of the companies out there have made it very, very competitive. When you go to a search engine and see all the prices and all the locations, and it appears on your doorstep a couple days later, we're trying, and we understand there'll always be some of that, but we're trying to get a better understanding about how shop locally does help your own community.
Jeff, on the phone, do you have any suggestions as to what local government at the county and the city level can do to perhaps help our local economy get back on its footing?
Yeah, you know, they can try to, same thing, they can buy locally as well. And, you know, they voted for that local company's buying preference for some of the stuff they put out to bid. That was a nice start. You know, they've been very supportive of the shop rating campaign. You know, the REU newsletter's been putting that in last year. I think they put it in, Frank might correct me, three or four times into their newsletter about the shop rating campaign. And then on top of it, you know, some of the stuff with the building permits where they've structured the payments on those instead of all of it up front. There's certain times until the house is finished when they're making the final payment for, ready for occupancy for that permit. So I think not only the city council, but I think city staff is trying to do what they can within the limits that they have. And that's encouraging. You know, the small businesses want to be successful here, and I think that our local citizens want to support those local businesses, and that's important.
Okay, we've got a caller on line two, John, with a question for Frank Strazzarino. John?
Good morning, Mark. How you doing?
Good.
You and Mike are doing a good job, and nice to have you on the show.
Well, thank you.
Frank, I have a question for you. Do you know if there's a schedule for the combining of the Shasta Cascade Wonderland Association and the Reading Visitors Bureau, and when it is done, how do you see that affecting the Chamber of Commerce?
Yeah, well, we're in favor of anybody and everybody promoting our community. And if someone does it better than someone else or can do it cheaper, more efficiently, as we believe the Shasta Cascade Wonderland Association can, so be it. But there's no exclusive on that. So the chamber, the builders, the realtors, the radio stations, television, we want everybody to promote this area. I think what's driven that has been the fact that with the cost of not just the CVB, Convention Visitors Bureau, but also the convention center itself, has forced the council through the CSAC community, the Community Services Advisory Commission, to look at the numbers there. And ultimately, and to answer your question about the timing, ultimately that will shift over to the Shasta Cascade Wonderland Association, presumably in the next 60 or 90 days. The recommendation from CSAC must go to City Council. They'll debate it a little bit, but I think that one makes a whole lot of sense. And the folks that run the Shasta Cascade Wonderland Association, Bob Warren, who's a part-time city employee anyway, Karen Whitaker and others, will do a very fine job of continuing the promotional effort.
That will close the facility then there at the convention center.
I haven't heard, John, I haven't heard that said, and hopefully they'll keep that open because these cars are used to taking that turn and coming into the area. Boy, when the bridge is finished and the lights and everything and the folks walking, it's going to be a wonderful element of our community, and ultimately that facility is needed, even if it's run on a much smaller scale, to greet people when they come to town. That's really the first stop.
Yes,
okay, John, we got to take a break here, but thank you very much for your call.
I'd like to stick around for just a minute and hang on till after the break and ask you a question also, Mark.
Okay, you can do that. We'll be right back. Okay. This is KCNR 1460, Clearly Talk Radio.
Most people have a closet or drawer full of precious memories that are being lost day by day. Photos, slides, records, audio and video cassettes, they're all slowly fading away due to deterioration of the media they're recorded on. Belongi Entertainment Enterprises offers digital archiving services for all types of visual and audio media. Properly stored optical discs such as DVDs and CDs will last for decades and can be used to make perfect copies for family and friends. Find out more at Belongi Entertainment Enterprises, 223-3515.
Welcome to Five Star Bank, where we take a professional, progressive, and personal approach to every relationship. Whether you partner with us through our small business banking program, open a Capital Green savings account, or secure a home loan through our mortgage division, you'll find that Five Star Bank genuinely cares about you. Really, it's all about relationships, and we would like to get to know you better. Come on into our office at 358 Hartnell Avenue, or visit us online at fivestarbank.com. Professional, progressive, and personal. Five Star Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Dr. William Farrell is a family dentist with over 30 years of experience in all phases of dentistry, including sedation dentistry for those who are among the 90 million Americans afraid to go to the dentist. Whether it's a broken tooth that needs to be fixed, yellow teeth that need whitening, or pain that needs to be eliminated, Dr. William Farrell and his experienced staff can help you regain your health and a fabulous smile. Here's what a patient wrote to Dr. Farrell.
Dr. Farrell, thank you so much for accepting me as a new patient, fixing my big problem on the spot, and establishing a treatment plan that made sense and was affordable. You and your wonderful staff carefully explained my options and allowed me choices. You listened to me. I was so surprised when you called to see how I was doing last night. Thanks again.
Dr. Farrell served in both the Marine Corps and the Navy and offers special consideration to veterans. And to accommodate busy schedules, Dr. Farrell offers evening and Saturday appointments. Call Dr. William Farrell at 547-5757 or visit his website, palosidrodentistry.com.
This is Mark Beecham and Mike Quinn sitting in for Carl and Linda Bott on KCNR 1460. And God, I hate disco music.
That was
dedicated to Jeff Avery.
Okay. All right. We've got Jeff Avery on the line from the Chamber of Commerce, Frank Strazzarino from the Chamber in the studio, and we've got a caller, John, on line two. John, you had a question.
Yes, I do. First of all, Mark, have you ever realized how long 2 hours was before?
It goes by real quick, actually, because we've got four sets of guests today, and it goes by way too quickly sometimes for these big subjects.
Well, I'm going to make this real quick. It's a little plug. Mark, I'm working with Shasta Entertainment Group doing a live television show on Wednesday at Charter Channel 11. And it's a live show that's going to have the Chief of Police, Peter Hansen, and District Attorney Jerry Benito, Jeff Gorder of the Public Defender's Office, and Dave Nichols of the Northern California Parole Office. And we're going to do an element on crime in the streets from the show called Hand Me the Mic, and we'd like to invite you to be in the audience. It's a very restricted audience. We're only going to have about 12 people there, and we'd like you to be one of them.
Well,
at 7:30 on Wednesday.
All right. Well, thank you very much for the invitation, and thank you for the call. And
okay.
We got to get back to our guests here.
You guys have a great day.
Thank you.
Bye.
Frank, you mentioned before we took the last break about a customer service seminar you're going to have, Chamber's putting on this coming week, and can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, it's coming up on Wednesday, March 31st. It's a customer service master training session, and we're going to bring people in from 8 to 10 a.m. at the convention center. Nick Webb with Lassen Innovation is the CEO there, and Nick is an incredible speaker. He's written several books. He has something like 30 or 35 patents. He ran some of the visioning exercises for the city of Reading. He's a really interesting guy. He's a good speaker. He has tons of stories about customer service, some good and some not so good, and there's a lot to be learned. And really, if you look at the search engines I mentioned on prices or the competition or the fact that people are watching their dollars very carefully, what is it that gives business an edge? And it's going to be that, because how can I help you? What can we do? The seamless transactions, going the extra mile. And there's a lot to be learned on that subject, and Nick is a real expert there, and we're looking forward to his talking, and he's just a great speaker.
Customer service is the key to any business, whether it be a restaurant, that person, that waiter or waitress who really knows how to take care of people, those people are going to come back. Also, they'll build the ticket as they're able to present different foods and things like that. If you walk through one of these big box hardware stores and you don't have somebody there to help you and ask you, have you got all your projects taken care of, you're not going to make the most of sales. So this customer service really should be every employee out there needs to go through something like this.
No question about it.
Okay. We'd like to ask you a little bit about your tenure at the Chamber. You've been there since 1993, Frank, which makes you, I guess, one of the longest serving presidents at the Chamber, going back a 100-year history this year.
Yeah, nobody else will hire me. I keep trying, so I keep hanging around. But no, it's been a great experience. I've done 5-year stints in Cupertino in South San Francisco, and I thought I was coming up here to do a 5-year stint. And come to Shasta County, you fall in love with the area, the people, the recreational amenities, and it's really hard to leave. And so many people I know have passed up really good promotions and opportunities because they want to stay here, and that's a sterling testimonial to the quality of life we have in Shasta County.
Jeff, how do you think Frank is doing?
You know what? We're still live.
This
right?
is on tape.
We're
yeah.
live. Yes.
I was chairman of the board 2 years ago, and I was very pleased to work with Frank. He's very knowledgeable, very dedicated to the business community, and what's nice, he gives us a good historical perspective of everything that's gone on. And we are very happy, very honored to have Frank. When I travel up and down the state for various business things that I do, it always amazes me that people know about our Reading Chamber. You know, we're still over 1,000 members. It puts us in the top 7% in size of chambers, and that's due in no small part to Frank and his dedicated staff that he's got. I mean, it's just an amazing group of people, and I feel very honored to have the privilege to work with them.
Frank, follow-up question.
I would agree, basically. He read that exactly like I wrote it. Thank you, Jeff. That's very nice.
Frank, how do you think the Chamber's focus has changed under your tenure?
We've become a little more political. I mean, we're doing some of the same things with maps and directories and events and the Chambery and the Business Expo that we've done before and Chambers have done. We've gotten a little more political in that because of all the things that have escalated in the state of California with fees, fines, forfeitures, the cost of doing business. I mean, be a manager, go to jail. We've had to be a lot more political. We have a political action committee that raises funds. We interview candidates. We endorse candidates. So our members have really fundamentally said two things. We want a voice at City Hall, and what are you doing about jobs around here? So that's where our focus has gone and will remain. And then it's in all the things we do, you'll see that common theme.
You mentioned endorsements. Who have you endorsed this year for City Council?
We have already endorsed Rick Bassetti and Patrick Jones. They said they'd look at the budget and make some tough decisions, that they would address the pension and retirement benefits issue, and they'd also not blindly follow the lead of staff. And those two men have really done that. Missy MacArthur's been a pleasant surprise. So we're already early out of the gate going with Bassetti and Jones, even though we don't know all the candidates.
And that's an unusual thing for the Chamber to endorse candidates this early in an election cycle.
We've
right?
never done that actually before, and we've never pulled people in and told them why we're endorsing them specifically. Sometimes we have de-endorsed people because they just went in a different direction, and so I think it's worse to lose our endorsement than never get the endorsement. But this time we decided it's important and significant to reward good behavior. Both men have taken some real risk. They will be targeted by the public employee unions and other places because of some of their very difficult stands, but we feel they've done a good job, and we appreciate their accessibility to the business community, and it's a good thing they're in place.
Before we go, because we just have a minute left here, I'd like you to talk a little bit about the difference between local businesses and locally owned businesses, because I consider that when you shop locally owned is just as important, because that profit stays here. It's not just sales tax and some wages.
And we have members in both categories, of course, and some that have had some criticism, like Walmart, have actually been very good citizens, giving back to the community and supporting United Way. But part of the 350 campaign is pick three locally owned businesses that you know are out there and plan to spend $50 a month with them. We will be getting much more specific in the near future when the speaker comes to town. But you bet we want to support local businesses as much as possible. There are people here that contribute so much to our society. If you look at the list of all that they do with Little League and their activities and their volunteerism, it's phenomenal. So we do want to encourage people to look for those local merchants, and let's be sure we keep them in business.
Some new ones downtown. Gorilla Bites is open, and they had a fantastic weekend last weekend, you know, for a kickoff. They're down here across from the Shasta College, the new building down here, in the open mall.
Great. Frank and Jeff, thanks for joining us this morning, and we've got to go to Fox News here in a minute, but I want to say again, you guys are doing a great job at the Chamber, and just keep it up, and hope the economy turns soon. This is KCNR 1460.
Fox News Radio, I'm Dave Anthony. The Cold War thaws a little more.
The United States and Russia have agreed to the most comprehensive arms control agreement in nearly two decades.
President Obama finalizing it this morning with Russia's president, and they'll sign it in Prague April 8th.
It cuts by about a third the nuclear weapons that the United States and Russia will deploy. It significantly reduces missiles and launchers.
Homeowners who owe the bank more than their house is worth could get some help. The Obama administration offering new programs that would allow them to get new government-backed mortgages. There's also possible help for homeowners out of work. A fiery crash early this morning on a Kentucky highway. A tractor-trailer hits a van full of men, women, and children head-on, at least 10 dead.
This is still a pretty fresh scene, so to put anything into causation at this point, I think, would be just a little bit early.
Kentucky State Police Lieutenant David Jude says the truck crossed the median on I-65. Fox News. We report, you decide.
How times have changed. When our founding fathers became our first politicians, they expected to serve temporarily, without pay, and then to return to private life. Don Steck for Coachmaster Collision Repair. Today, our career politicians spend too much of their day working to stay in office. Instead of making our lives easier, they make them more difficult, with more regulations, laws, and taxes. The founding fathers served our country as a duty, with no intention of becoming rich while in office. Today, many of our politicians become wealthy while in office. Besides a paycheck, they also have travel allowances, living allowances, better retirement, and better medical than is available to the ordinary citizen. Not all politicians exploit their office. There are good guys, but they are outnumbered. And then, there are those that do not pay their taxes until they are caught. Coachmaster, Collision Repair, Redding, California.
Hey, well, all right, sir, here we go there. What are they going to get for them?
Listen every Saturday morning, 7 to 8 on KCNR 1460 for Let's Sell It with Ernie and Dave. Do some spring cleaning now and we'll help you sell it. Just about anything except guns, ammo, and animals. We can announce your yard sale, garage sale, or event. So give us a call at 605-4567. Sponsored by Amsoil, Bibles, Books, and More, Leslie's Good Health Massage, and Essex Heating and Air.
Well, welcome back, Reading. This is Mark Beecham and Mike Quinn sitting in for Carl and Linda Bott on KCNR 1460 AM. It is a little past 8:30, and I understand we've got the boss on the phone here. No, not yet. Okay. Anyway. The next guest here in this segment is John Harris, and for those of you who read Reading.com and pay attention to the comments at the bottom of the stories, John Harris will probably be a familiar name. A former Reading resident, John lives now in New Jersey with his family. He's got a wife and two boys, I think, and he has a technology company based in New Jersey and in New York that helps Wall Street companies trade bonds. Now, the reason John's on the line this morning, the reason I asked him to be a guest, was that a few weeks ago, John filed a criminal complaint with the district attorney, Jerry Benito, that grew out of the City of Reading's purchase probably about 5 years ago now, or 6 years ago now, I believe, of property owned by the Strati family off of Interstate 5 just south of the city limits. Property that was acquired with $1.5 million of money borrowed from Reading Electric Utility. Now, the purchase, as I recall, was never really fully explained by the city manager, Mike Warren, at the time, or other city officials. And it was later investigated rather perfunctorily, I think, by the Shasta County Grand Jury. So, John, are you on the phone?
I am, Mark. Good to be with you.
Thanks. John, what was it about this purchase that stuck in your craw and that caused you, you know, 5-6 years after this transaction to file such a complaint? It's a quite a long complaint, legal language. You've obviously done a lot of research of the relevant law. What was it about this purchase that that got your attention?
When I first read about the purchase, which was sometime after it happened, perhaps 6 months or so, in an article by Scott Mobley in the Record Searchlight, he described the loan as having a term of more than 10 years. And from my background in the bond market and working with municipal governments, I knew that it was illegal for any local agency to make an investment of that term. So that prompted me to dig into the transaction. And, of course, it you know, struck me, like it did a lot of people, that it was unusual for the city to be purchasing land outside of its city limits. But as I started looking into the details, and particularly the fact that it was structured as a, quote, loan, unquote, from Reading Electric to the city of Reading, I knew that the transaction was just illegal on its face.
When
so
you,
it was pretty obvious to me and would be obvious to anybody who is in the business of you know, assisting municipalities with their investments.
John, when you started looking into this and asking questions, what kind of responses did you get from city officials or members of the city council? Did you get forthright responses?
Well, I did a number of things. I went to first I did my homework to see what had transpired. And I then reached out to a number of city officials via email, the city treasurer initially, if memory serves, the city attorney, the city finance officer, asking them specific questions about the transaction and not receiving, useful answers. They essentially just maintained that there's nothing wrong with this, and a lot of my questions they just simply wouldn't answer. They deliberately ignored. I wound up going to a couple of city council meetings, and the treasurer reports monthly on the funds that are entrusted to her care, and this is normally done on the council's consent agenda, and the council essentially approves her report without debate, typically. But any citizen can ask that an item be moved from the consent agenda to the regular agenda, and I did so, and stood up and told the council that the treasurer's accounting of the funds entrusted to her care were wrong, because this loan, for example, has never shown up in the treasurer's accounting of REU reserves. And the council did listen. The first time I showed up at a meeting, Ken Murray asked if I would sit down with Randy Bachman face-to-face and walk through my concerns with him, and I agreed to do that. I did meet with Mr. Bachman. He, listened. He said, essentially that we think this is right. And I gave him a very factual picture of why it was illegal. And, his response was essentially just a shrug, as in, what are you going to do about it? I went to an additional council meeting and again requested that this be dealt with. And the council, at this point, some of its members were sort of perturbed at me, and I just decided to work, as best I could through letters and, ongoing efforts to try to have this resolved. And I just kept after it over the years. I would occasionally get involved in discussions through Reading.com with Ken Murray. He promised at some point to have a meeting at Record Searchlight offices and to have reporters there and anybody else. And I tried to follow up with him on that, and he basically refused to follow through in his promise. And I decided, not to, at some point I moved, I kept up with this. I decided not to take the litigation route, which any citizen can do. And eventually, when it became obvious that the land might be sold, I wanted to make sure that the funds were repatriated to REU, and that's why I filed the criminal complaint.
John, can you hold on just a second? I got to talk to Carl Bott. He's called in here to say hello from Palm Springs. And then we got to take a quick break. But hold on, and I got a couple more questions for you after that break. Is that all right?
Of course.
Okay. Carl, are you on the phone?
We're on the phone. I just wanted to call in and say thank you, and it sounds like you are just really busy.
Oh, I'm enjoying it, Mike and I. Trying to stay out of trouble. Hopefully you don't have to hire an FCC attorney when you get home.
You won't have to.
We'll still let Mike pay for those things like that, you know, because we're still in that learning curve.
That's right. So how was the trip down there?
Well, you know, it's a good trip, and we're staying at some friend's house right now, and we're off again today. But we appreciate you two standing in for us, and I know you're doing a great job.
Well, thank you so much, and we got to run to a quick break.
Keep
here.
Up the good work.
All right, enjoy your time down there. We'll see you, I guess, on Monday.
We'll be back Monday afternoon. We have another great guest host sitting in Monday morning, and then we'll be back on the air Tuesday. Right.
Very
with
good.
Lots of stories.
Very good. So we'll be right back. We're going to take a quick break here. This is Mark Beecham and Mike Quinn sitting in for Carl and Linda Bott on Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460.
You can't just hang your sign and expect customers to beat a path to your door. I'm Jennifer Haynes, Director of Marketing for NorCal Presort, your business mailroom. Our lives today are crazy busy. Most of us have a stack of deals we want to take advantage of, but time slips away from us and all of a sudden a month or two has passed by. We need reminders. There is no better reminder that is more personal or involving than direct mail. People look at their mail almost every day, but you can't send an offer once and expect us to respond. We need to be reminded of who you are and what you have to offer. Reach the correct people with the correct message at least 3 times, and they will shop in your business. NorCal Presort will take the frustration and hassle out of getting customers in your door, and you will pay less for postage. Stop by NorCal Presort at 835 Industrial, just off Hilltop, or call me at 221-6895. Reach your customers and save money today at NorCal Presort, your business mailroom.
We are speaking with Mr. Edgar Lumpf, universally recognized as the world's most timid man, winner of the Nobel Prize for Cowardice. Mr. Lumpf.
What's that?
That's a microphone, sir.
I don't want to touch it. I'm afraid of electricity.
I'll hold it for you.
Not too close.
Mr. Lumpf, as the world's most timid man, when is the last time you were out of your house?
Last month, for my regular dental checkup.
Mr. Lumpf, I find that hard to believe. Of the 90 million Americans afraid to go to the dentist, you have to be number one.
But Dr. William Farrell is my dentist. He offers sedation dentistry, so I don't really know what he does. I'm afraid to ask, but look at these.
Mr. Lumpf, you have a charming, gleaming smile.
All thanks to Dr. William Farrell and his wonderful staff.
And as winner of the Cowardice Award, you have a lot more to smile about.
I haven't picked it up yet. I'm afraid of flying. And Norwegians?
Take it from Mr. Lumpf, the world's most timid man. You don't have to conquer your fear of dentistry. Dr. William Farrell will do that for you. Visit PaloCedroDentistry.com or call 547-5757.
Taking care of an elderly parent can be an exhausting job. There's no need to do it alone. Home Helpers has been there for many families in the same situation you are in. Sharon, owner of Home Helpers, describes a typical situation.
They are run down, mom and dad are demanding so much time and attention that a lot of times when we come in, we can alleviate that stress and really help that family become reunited again because they just need a little bit of help.
The parent and adult-child relationship works best when both are independent. Home Helpers can help restore that relationship with assistance for the parent in a way that is a relief for both the child and the parent.
It's hard for kids to also be the child and the caregiver. And sometimes we can take on the role of caregiver and let that child just be the child again.
Home Helpers can provide transportation, meal preparation, housekeeping, and many other services to suit your needs. Call Home Helpers for a personalized assessment.
Welcome back, Reading. This is Mark Beecham and Mike Quinn sitting in for Carl and Linda Bott on KCNR 1460 Free Fire Radio. We got John Harris on the line. Still there, John?
I am, Mark.
Great. Listen, the complaint that you filed with the DA and other law enforcement officials around the state of California, I was just very, very impressed by it. It's the kind of investigative journalism that I wish the newspaper had had the time and, frankly, the inclination to do while this whole thing was unfolding. You moved from Reading to New Jersey after this transaction took place, after you'd begun some investigative work on it. You weren't run out of town, right? I mean, you had a job that took you back there.
No, definitely not. In fact, I risked being killed by my wife for leaving Reading.
Okay, well, Reading is a beautiful place. And why is it that even though you live in New Jersey, you're still commenting on Reading.com? You obviously still love this place. What is it about the place that holds you?
Well, you know, I love the people of Reading. We really moved just for work reasons. As you mentioned, I have a financial software company, and the customers are in New York. So, you know, at some point, it just became impractical. But while I was in Reading, Reading started up, the comments and so forth, and I became engaged in a conversation with people, and it was just natural for me to continue it. The blogs had already started, and, I guess you could say I was part of a virtual community. And we still harbor ambitions of moving back to Reading, and my youngest was born there. My wife regularly communicates, so you know we still feel like we're part of the community. We come back every summer, and it was just natural for me to continue the dialogue and to sustain my interest.
John, you've got some really strong views about the comments on Reading.com, actually, and I think this may be the only area that you agree with Kent Dagg on, but Kent Dagg of the Shasta Builders Exchange and others think that the Searchlight is misguided in its policy of allowing anonymous commenters on Reading.com, and you agree with that. Is that right?
I do. I think that the comments and the blogs are a tremendous service to the community and one of the best things Reading, the Record Searchlight, has ever done. But I do think that the anonymity of the comments hurts the enterprise. And people say things let's just take a simple example. If someone knows something that should be disclosed, let's say some nefarious activity in some organization, they should have the courage to come out and say it under their own name. If they don't and they say it anonymously, what will happen is the organization will use the anonymity to disparage the credibility of the source and therefore to disparage what the source has said. So I think that having people comment under their own names would elevate the level of discourse and would also cause the comments to be that much more valuable.
So you don't buy the notion of, well, this would stifle whistleblowers inside City Hall or the county from coming forward?
I understand that perspective, and I would just say if you're going to be a whistleblower, have courage. If you see something that is wrong in government, then it's your government. You know, why should you be afraid to come forward and say what you see? Otherwise, let's say you see something strange happening with money, why let it go on? So I really don't have sympathy for whistleblowers who are afraid to come forward as Americans and to say what it is that they know.
John, we were talking earlier with Frank Strazzarino and Jeff Avery of the Chamber of Commerce about the local economy. What do you think Reading should or can do to jumpstart the economy during this really tough period?
Well, I think the number one thing is that local government should get out of the way. I think all government-funded economic development activities should be ceased, and that the natural entrepreneurial spirit of the people who are in Reading should be allowed to flourish. I would eliminate all business license fees right now. Why create any barriers whatsoever to business formation? And if the city officials want to make themselves useful, they should do something ambitious and truly helpful, like lobby the state and the federal government to make Reading and the area around Reading some kind of, you know, free trade, tax-free zone. Give businesses that want to start up in Reading or in the, you know, greater Northern California area a 10 or 20-year tax holiday. The area is naturally stunning. It's a wonderful place to live. The people are, as fine as you'll find anywhere. There's no reason why the economy has to be in the doldrums. But I think that the control of the economy by, you know, a relatively small number of people is hurting, and that they should either get out of the way or do something that's, you know, truly visionary, rather than just trying to direct money to Stillwater or, you know, whatever the pet project may be.
John, it's real interesting that you mentioned the trade-free zone, and that's something that just can be applied for. I know I lost a business because there was no trade-free zone that I could operate out of, and because it involved international dealings, I needed that, and it would be a resume builder here. So it's something just to apply for. Why not apply for every single possible, you know, advantage to business if you want them to come up here?
I agree. I mean, I think it's time for you know, the state and the federal government to understand there are places around the country like Reading. You know, Detroit would be one that's sort of at the opposite extreme, but that are mired in extremely difficult economic circumstances. And something radical has to be done. And around the world, this is something that governments do to jumpstart an economy. It was done in Dubai, you know, with great success. Now, they went overboard in terms of borrowing money and so forth, so I'm not advocating that, you know, the government get involved in borrowing money. But I would do something along those lines. Try to make a multi-county zone that any business can set up in and not have to pay any taxes for a long time. And that will definitely attract employment opportunities.
Okay, John, we got to take a quick break. But when we come back, we got a caller on line one, John, for John. And this is Mark Beecham and Mike Quinn sitting in for Carl and Linda Bott on KCNR 1460. We'll be right back.
As hard as it may be to believe, every 90 seconds in this country, a woman is raped. On Saturday, April 10th, real men in Shasta County are going to step into the shoes of women everywhere and walk a mile to bring awareness to all victims of sexual assault and domestic violence. Are you man enough to walk that mile? Won't you please step up and walk a mile to help end rape and sexual assault on April 10th, starting at 10 a.m. at the Market Street Promenade. High heels are requested for men, and you can call for Shoe Sources at 244-0118, extension 202. April is Sexual Assault Awareness Month. Please join the men's walk on April 10th. For more information or to register for the walk, please call 244-0118, extension 202, or go online to womensrefuge.org. And for every man who raises at least $100 for this cause, a special Walk a Mile t-shirt will be provided. Walk, toddle, skip, or limp, but please, won't you join us and do whatever it takes to make this walk a great success? April 10th at the Market Street Promenade, women everywhere will thank you. Join us this Sunday and every Sunday at C.R. Gibbs American Grill for Sunday brunch, C.R. Gibbs style. Tantalize your taste buds with Eggs Benedict, biscuits and gravy, malted waffles with over a dozen toppings, our cooked-to-order omelet station, seasonal fruits, homemade pastas, scrumptious salads, delectable desserts, and much, much, much more. C.R. Gibbs favorites like oak-fired tri-tip, seafood specials, crepes, and our famous peel-and-eat shrimp. Each Sunday, the chef will change up special creations just to keep you guessing. Savor the combination of great food, great company, and a great price of only $13.95 for an entertainment sensation only at C.R. Gibbs American Grill. Brunch is served from 10:30 a.m. to 2 p.m., and reservations are always recommended. Call 221-2335, 221-2335. We look forward to serving you this Sunday for brunch, where entertainment thrives. C.R. Gibbs American Grill, Hilltop Drive, Reading.
Welcome back, Reading. This is Mark Beecham, Mike Quinn, sitting in for Carl and Linda Bott on Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. We've got John Harris on the line. We've got a question from John for John Harris. John on line two.
Good morning, John Harris.
Hi, John.
How are you this morning?
Fine. How are you, sir?
Great. You may not recognize me, but I'm the gentleman who suggested the writ of mandamus to you online, and I agree with your position on posting should be personalized. My question for you is, your complaint has been passed on to the FBI and the Attorney General. Do you feel this was the appropriate response to your complaint, or should it have been investigated locally?
Well, I think it should have been handled by Mr. Benito's office directly. My complaint essentially alleges prima facie, you know, violations of the law. He should be able to, and I have no, by the way, no original investigative material of my own. I operated solely on the basis of the public record. So he should have been able to simply read the complaint, read the citations of relevant law and the source documents from the city and make a decision.
John, this is Mark. What is your goal of filing this complaint? What would you like to see happen?
I'd like to see the officials, all of the officials that were involved in this, past or present, held to account for their actions. I think they've committed multiple misdemeanors. But more importantly, I think that the method of accounting and financing and operation of the city of Reading is fraudulent and is impoverishing the people. And I would like to see all of the people who are involved in this kind of thing, shown the door at minimum, but to the extent they've been involved in criminal activity, or really what this is control fraud, I'd like to see them punished for it.
And what kind of response have you received, if any, from District Attorney Benito?
Just a letter acknowledging receipt of the complaint, and I believe it said that he would forward the complaint to the grand jury and to the FBI.
Okay, well, the grand jury has already looked at this matter once, and you've read their report. How would you characterize it?
Well, I would characterize their report as shoddy and incomplete, and my biggest complaint about the grand jury is that it allows itself to be insulted. The city responded to that report in just an insulting tone, and the grand jury seems unwilling to follow up on its findings. Now, that may be a function of the fact that it only serves for a year at a time, and investigations cannot effectively be carried from one grand jury to another. But I think the grand jury is a vitally important body and is defaulting on its obligations to the county of Shasta.
Okay, John, we have a question from Gary for you. Gary on line one.
Yes. Yes,
hi, Gary.
Go ahead, Gary.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I just really quickly wanted to remind John that there are two additional loans that REU has made to the city. One of them is 38 years old and one is 40 years old. One's to the parking fund for building a parking structure in Midtown redevelopment zone, and the other one is from 1972, and neither one of them have been paid down. In fact, one of them has got almost $26,000 more than the original amount. So just keep in mind that there are two other loans that have not been paid on.
I knew about that, Gary, and it's a mystery to me why those loans are still unpaid. Is one of them for the power plant in New Mexico?
Pardon me?
Is one of them for the power plant in New Mexico?
These two were for both parking structures in the Midtown area. One of them, I believe, was for the parking structure that was underneath the Dickers department store, and the other one was for the north end of the present above-ground parking structure. And neither one of them have been paid off. And I got to digging around, as you did, into some REU stuff, and that's what I came up with. And they're not being paid.
John?
Go ahead, John.
The whole notion of REU lending money to the city of Reading is a joke. It's impossible. A person cannot lend money to himself, and that is the farce that they're trying to maintain. They are one and the same. They are not different legal entities. REU is simply an accounting device. That's it. They have the same board of directors, if you will. They cannot lend money to other city departments. There's no such thing as a bona fide loan that can be made from REU to the general fund. It's just not possible.
John, if listeners here are interested in this subject, what more can they do to follow through on this or help you further this investigation and this complaint?
I believe the most effective thing would be to share their views with the district attorney. It's not really appropriate to take this matter to the state attorney general. There's a protocol that has to be followed, and it's not really appropriate to take it to the state attorney general until the district attorney has passed on it. So I think the best course of action for those who are concerned about this is to let their views be known to the district attorney, and hopefully he will do the right thing.
All right, Mike. I'm sorry, John, we're almost out of time here, so I appreciate you being on the phone this morning, and we'll stay in touch.
thank you so much for having me.
Sure.
And have a good morning. Thank you.
Thanks. And to all of our guests, thank you for being, and the listeners, being patient with us. And before I go, I want to tip my hat to Carl and Linda Bott, not just for giving me the chance to sit in for them, but for what they've accomplished with KCNR. I know it took a lot of courage and a lot of confidence to start a new business like this in this really terrible economy. They've put together a great lineup of local and syndicated shows, and I really believe strongly that the more competition, the better. So this is Mark Beecham with KCNR 1460 Shasta, Redding.